I want us all to be of one mind. The one mind is this, that we're celebrating an event. We're not celebrating the day. We're celebrating an event. Did Jesus come on December 20? No. Get that out of your mind. Nope. So don't let's have the attitude, I don't want to celebrate Christmas. We're going to celebrate Christmas because it's a time of giving and God gave to us. Yeah, the world put it as this day, they making their money. We worshiping the great I am. So let's be of one mind celebrating. And that brings us to looking back and celebrate Christmas. Look back and celebrate. And this is going to be a tremendous inspiration for you. It's not only look back or looking back and celebrate, but also looking forward with great anticipation. So we are celebrating the season, but beyond the season, it reminds me of that little cloud coming. There, come on, the rain is coming. Just saw a little cloud. And today, as we look beyond the season, what are we seeing? Jesus is coming back again. And we want to look back a little bit this morning because the Christmas season has begun. And I love Christmas. I love the decorations. Now, please, once again, well, the trees are idols and the lights. Cut it out. We using everything that God has created and we're looking at this joy. Yes, for some folks, it's going to be a very difficult season. For some folks, there's not much joy in the natural, but there's going to be joy because you're a child of the living God. The Christmas trees are up. And unfortunately, they came up before Thanksgiving. They want to make money. But there is excitement in the air. You drive down the roads, and Heather and I have been driving quite a bit at times, and we look at all the decorations, and we say, look at this, there's life again, this season. And yes, this season does bring an excitement that we don't have the rest of the year, so let's enjoy it. And we're celebrating that great event. The fact is that Jesus came, Jesus was born, and because he came, we celebrate the birth of our Lord and Jesus. What a privilege to honor him this morning. I want us to go back almost 2,000 years. The greatest announcement the world has ever heard. And it came from angelic beings. The greatest announcement. As you go to the book of Luke, I read this over and over, and we get excited about this. In Luke 2:13-14, at once the angel was joined by a huge angelic choir. Now, this translation mentions choir singing praises to God. Controversy. There's controversy about this, that they were not singing, but they were proclaiming God's praises. To me, I don't really care whether they were singing, whether they were just shouting God's praises, which is glory to God in the heavenly heights. It doesn't really bother me. But I do appreciate that there was a huge angelic choir making the greatest announcement this world has ever heard. Glory to God in the heavenly heights. Peace to all men and women on earth who please him. So something happened here. Of course, the shepherd boys were all excited about this, afraid, then excited. They wanted to go look at the birth of Jesus Christ. So yes, the birth took place almost 2,000 years. So what are we doing this morning then? Every single season, pastors have got to come up with something to present to the people. And of course, it never gets old. This Christmas story never gets old. Why not? Why not? Not why not. It deals with a living being. A living being that never gets old. And not only that, it's a living being. He's a living being. He's also coming back again. So Christmas just never gets old. We've got to look back. And in looking back, we come to a conclusion, something happened. Something that revolutionized this world. Something that changed this world. Something that did not only change the world, but continues to change the world. Continues to change people. The birth of a Savior, Jesus Christ. So something decisive happened. Yes, Christ came to visit us almost 2,000 years ago. And then we ask, as we will proceed through this message this morning, the gift. Who gave this gift? And then we realize it's God who gave the gift, Jesus Christ. The emphasis is gift. Jesus is God's gift to us. And the next few minutes, I want to explore the absolute best gift that you can receive. No matter when you receive it, no matter how you receive it, or should we say, receive Him. From that day onwards, His ministry started. People were aware that there was something different in Jesus. And as His ministry started at the age of 30 for 3.5 years, it impacted this world tremendously. And from that moment onwards, even after the ascension, we find that people's lives have been changed all because of the gift. What a tremendous gift. And I want us to appreciate that this morning. The central gift at Christmas is the gift of Jesus. For unto us a child is born. We speak about this special gift. Of course, on the 24th Christmas Eve, we'll be celebrating, have a great celebration. That night, many will receive their presents. The morning of Christmas, people will be opening their presents. But Thursday night, or the night we come Christmas Eve, let's bring our gifts as well. Let's bring our gift to Crossway. Crossway's been a blessing to all of us. And we can bring a nice offering for Crossway as well. In Isaiah 9 verse 6, look at this. Oh, it's used every season. A child, notice the terminology, a child has been born for us, a child. We have been given a gift. What is the gift? You see the difference? A child has been born. We have been given a son who will be our ruler. Now we also have, as this is prophetic and came to pass, you'll find it's continuing to be prophetic. His names will be Wonderful Advisor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, and Prince of Peace. Have we seen the Prince of Peace? No, we haven't. But the Son has been born, a child, the gift has been given to us. And all this rulership is still to come. It's unfolding. That's what God's prophecy is all about. So Jesus then this morning is God's gift to us. Why are people so against the gift? Why did it take some of us so long to accept the gift? What fault can we find in the gift? What fault? You're going to receive gifts on Christmas Eve. I'm going to receive. Heather and I will be receiving Christmas. And then some of the gifts you will open, you say, oh, no, I don't really need this. Why did they give me this gift? And then some of the kids are so excited about the gift and they're about using it all about the house. There's noise outside. And then all of a sudden the novelty wears off and it gets stashed away. The gift is gone because it was a thing. But what's wrong with this gift? Nothing. So if there's nothing wrong with this gift, why don't people accept this gift more? Because the God of this earth has blinded their eyes. But I also want to show you not only a child has been born for us and we have been given a son. Please understand this morning that this gift, God's son, is totally unique. It wasn't mass production. It wasn't made in China. This gift is unique. Nothing before, nothing after, because within the uniqueness of this gift, we find something so extraordinary. Deity and humanity in one. What? Some say deity, humanity in one. How do we know this? Of course, we've got to go to John 1:14. The Word, the supernatural, Jesus became flesh. So now we have the supernatural coming into the natural. The Word became flesh and blood. And guess what happened? He moved into the neighborhood. What's the neighborhood? Earth. Supernatural came to the natural. The uniqueness of this, the deity and humanity combined. Never before, never after have you had this. And as we look at this uniqueness, the uniqueness of the gift, we've got to consider the value. What is the value of this gift? Well, we can go to shops, we can go buy expensive things. They're valuable. But those things depreciate. What is the value of this gift? In Romans 8:32, God didn't spare his own son, but handed him over to death for all of us. So he will also give us everything along with him. Look at the value. God handed over his own son. How valuable was this? Firstly, it's unique. Jesus Christ is unique. There's no other son like this. There's no other son that pre-existed. No other son. We all were created. And now because we are children of God, because we accepted Christ, we've become sons and daughters of God. But here's this strange phenomena of the individual called Jesus that was never created, that has always been self-existent. He didn't need oxygen to live. He didn't need blood in his body. Pre-existent. He's God. And I look at the qualities of this gift. And you and I can easily miss Christmas if we don't have this one gift. God's Christmas gift to you. And God's gift to you has three qualities. And as I share these three qualities that makes it a must-have. Firstly, it's the most expensive gift you will or have ever received. I don't know about you. The way I feel about this, we don't contemplate it much. We don't consider it much. We take for granted that we are followers of Christ. We take for granted that our names are written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. We take for granted that we can call him my Father. But do we really consider the value of this gift? The quality of this gift? Do we consider how expensive this gift is? Not made by human hands. Not thought out by man. Not brought to us by a king, a ruler, a government. The most expensive gift you'll ever receive. Why? It's priceless. And he paid for you and I. Jesus Christ became the price to reconcile us to God. And we recognize that God loved us so much that he gave us this gift. So it's an expensive gift. Number two, and I think it's so important for us. We're living in a throwaway society. Gifts that we receive, often the gifts that we receive are cheap junk because they're mass production. When I look at the gift that God has given to me, I do find it's not only the most expensive gift I've ever received. It's the only gift that's going to last forever. Wow. Jesus is the only gift that's going to last forever and ever and ever. Why? Because he's eternal. It's an eternal gift. Thirdly, the gift that God has given to you and to me, it's a very practical gift. In what way? Every day I can call upon him. Every day I can ask him, God, give me strength. Give me wisdom. When I lack something in my life, what do I ask for? Wisdom. It comes from him. So it's a very practical gift at the same time. To estimate the greatest of God's gift to you, you need to understand the worth of the gift. Remember, God offered his son. So the son's worth to the father. We've looked at the qualities, but what's this gift worth? Yeah, it's expensive. We understand that. We recognize that it's not only expensive, it is also the only gift that lasts forever. It's a practical gift. But what was the son, the gift to us? What was the son's worth to the father? Immeasurable? It's difficult for us to comprehend the spiritual realm of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit as co-equal, three individuals, three beings, but yet one. It's difficult for us to comprehend that God has a begotten Son. It's difficult for us to comprehend that the three spirit beings called God cannot be divided. Yeah, it's difficult. But the son's worth to the father, I put it another way, just how much did the son mean to the father? And if I ask that question, I've got to proceed with another question. If I say he meant much to the father, does it mean that the Holy Spirit meant nothing to the father? We can't go that way. Because they don't operate that way. But to understand the son's worth to the father, we've got to go to John 10:30. I and the father are one. So if I and the father are one, how can I be separated? Because there's a function. And the function is within the Trinity, as we look back. Within the Trinity, it was unanimously agreed on Jesus will become the present, the gift to humanity. Each one had the function. That's why Jesus said, it's expedient, it's good for me to go away so I can send you what? Another comforter. But yet it's three in one. But sending me another comforter means one of the same. There's no difference between the three. They've got different functions. So I look at this gift this morning and I understand that Jesus Christ was not a man whom God found adopted him as his son and said, you know what? I adopt you. I'm sending you to earth. No. Nothing could be further from the truth. Jesus Christ is the pre-existent one. Not only the pre-existent one, he doesn't need any outside help to exist. You and I do. We do. And I'm hoping this morning to convey to you the significance of this gift as we look back. In looking back, we appreciate the decision we made to accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. He has always existed. Jesus is as eternal as the Father. And every inch and ounce of deity dwells in Jesus just as in God. And Colossians 2:9 means a lot to me in the sense of looking back. And I'll share it with you. Everything of God. Now let's pause for a moment. Let's define some words. What does everything mean? Everything, Dumbo. But what is everything? Everything I can imagine, everything I can try to understand, everything I can try and come up with, perceive, everything of God gets expressed. How? In the gift. In the gift. You still with me? Well, I've lost you long ago. I've lost myself long ago. Everything of God gets expressed in Him, Jesus. So you can see and hear Him clearly. Yeah, as clear as mud. But look at this, guys. You don't need a telescope, a microscope, or a horoscope to realize the fullness of Christ. The fullness of Christ. Is there anything lacking in Him? No. Is He pre-existent? Yes. Is He and God the Father one? Yes. Because Jesus did say, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Wow. This God thing goes far beyond what you and I can ever comprehend and understand. We've got theologians, we've got scholars that break the Word of God apart. We've got the Hebrew, we've got the Greek interpretations that try to interpret it so that we can understand it in our language. But beyond that, there is still mystery upon mystery upon mystery. And as I've said so many times, God is not found. He's not even discovered. He reveals Himself. And what we have is a tiny bit of revelation of God. And that tiny bit of revelation can drive us crackers in trying to interpret it. Because God is bigger. And that's why He says everything of God gets expressed in Him. Upon the face of the earth, we see that now. And the emptiness of the universe without Him. Why the emptiness of the universe without Him? Why? Think about that. Think. That's what we come here for. Think. Why the emptiness of the universe without Him? Well, in our human understanding, my human mind, I will come to this conclusion: without Him, there is no universe. How do I know that? Because all things were created by Him, for Him, and for His own pleasure. Seeing the stars dancing around, naming all the stars. Have you ever thought about that? How many stars are there? Trillions? And he knows them by name? Wow. The emptiness of the universe without him? So what I discover in this, God the Father, God the Son are inseparable. They are one. God the Father expresses himself through the Son. The Son has received authority to create things. But yet they said, the Trinity, let us make man. And when I look at this, everything of God gets expressed in him. You don't need the telescope, the microscope, to realize the fullness, the greatness, the completeness, the wholeness of God, because it's evident through the creation. And he says, and the emptiness of the universe without him, where would we be without God? Oh, yes, I remember that the planet Earth and everything else came out of nothing. So nothing produces nothing. Sure. That is why Paul says in 2 Corinthians 9:15, now thanks be to God for what? Don't you find that amazing, capital G? The Amplified version amplifies it, brings it to a better understanding for you and me. Now, thanks be to God for his gift. What gift? Son, right? We draw that conclusion. His son. Thanks be to God for his gift. What is this gift? Who is this gift? How valuable is this gift? How costly is this gift? We've dealt with some of that. Precious. This is how Paul describes it. Precious. Beyond telling. He's indescribable. Inexpressible. Free gift. So how do I describe this gift? In human language? How do I do that? Well, Paul helps me. He says, hey, Dennis, as much as you want to try and describe this gift, I'm telling you, this gift is indescribable. Hey, Dennis, I'm telling you, this gift that God has given to us is inexpressible. Why? Why? Because I can't put him in a box. He's alive. He goes beyond my understanding. And then what I appreciate so much, free. Oh, we love free stuff, guys. I love free stuff. But how can a gift that's indescribable, a gift that is inexpressible, a gift that is precious, be free? What would you pay for this gift? What is this gift's value to you in the natural sense? What would you pay for a precious gift? What would you pay for an indescribable gift? What will you pay? I'm not speaking about gold and diamonds and all that stuff now. This goes beyond that. Indescribable, inexpressible. How much am I prepared to pay for this gift if I had to pay for it? How much? We don't have the bucks. We don't have the bucks. We haven't got enough money to pay for something of this value. And then, of course, man, it blows my mind that this gift is free. Who in the world can give mankind such a free gift? Who in the world can offer to mankind a gift that is so indescribable, that is so precious, that is so valuable, that is so inexpressible? Who can give a gift like that to humanity? God. God. But why can he do that? Why would he do that? And this gift wasn't given to just kings. This gift wasn't just given to good people. No. This gift was given to people that don't deserve it. And who are they? Who are they? Turn to somebody and say, "That's me. That's me. I don't deserve it." And if you really want to get on somebody's nerves, tell them, "That's you. It's you. You don't deserve it, sucker." "No, I don't. I don't deserve it." So who in the world can give a gift like this? Who has that kind of value? Who has that kind of intent? Who has the kind of means to give a gift like this to somebody that doesn't deserve it? God. But what drove God? Love. For God? We know that, eh? For God so loved the world. Us. The Bible goes on and says, he came to us while we were yet his enemies. So why in the world would you send a gift like this to your enemy? Because of love. I'm looking back now. We're still looking back. At this Christmas season we're about to celebrate, but we've got to see how it came about. And we see this inexpressible, precious, indescribable gift. That's why Paul would say this kind of stuff. And then, of course, let's hear from Matthew 3:17 from the Father. God himself. What's he got to say? Then suddenly, the voice of the Father shouted from the skies. Shouted from the sky saying, "This is what? Huh? The Son I love?" Who's the Son he loves? Who's Jesus? The indescribable, precious gift. "This is the Son I love. And my greatest delight." That's a Passion translation. We see passion. And another translation that helps us understand some of the verses. "This is the Son I love. And my greatest delight is in him." So you don't have delight in the Holy Spirit then, Father? Oh, don't be stupid, Dennis. We are one. But each one has a function. And his function was to come upon this earth, present himself as the gift, which I'm actually sending, which we all agreed upon. And now we've heard from the Father. And we consider the spirit of the giver in Romans 8:32. Wow. You know, guys, as you study these things and you and I learn and we read and we learn and we read, sometimes things just become far more precious as the Word of God is opened up and it's being revealed to us through the Holy Spirit. And we look at the big picture, and that's why to understand Christmas today, it is important just to look back a little bit, just to get a bit of theology. Just to get a bit of God, a bit of Jesus. He who did not withhold or spare even his own son. And by own son, we use the terminology, his only begotten, because it is so unique. And that's what we saw within the previous explanation. God's son is unique. He who did not withhold or spare even his own son. The only begotten. Now we're finding the spirit of the Father. The spirit of the giver. but gave him up for us all. He gave him up for us all. Why? Why did he do that? Because he was hard up? Because mankind was created in his likeness and his image. And sin marred his image in mankind. And he's not going to allow this. God is a long-term God. And he says there's a way to reconcile this fallen people. And the only way we're going to do it is through the gift I'm going to give them. He who did not withhold or spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all, will he not also with him, the gift, freely and graciously give us all other things pertaining to our spiritual growth, pertaining to our spiritual well-being? So if he could give this gift that can remove sin, is there anything else he can't do in our lives? No. Or are we coming to the conclusion that God wanted more fellowship with people? Because when you go to John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We read that, see the supernatural come and join in with the natural. We see that Jesus pre-existed. He's not only the Son of God, he is God, but it says, and he came down and dwelt among us, pitched his tent for a little while among us. And of course, 33 and a half years he died. They crucified him. But in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth in the Old Testament. And the Spirit of God hovered over. And then we find God said, let us make man in our own image. Then we find the enemy come, Satan, and he deceives everybody. And then years, God presents his gift, Jesus. Now, if we have to look, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. As I said, it's the supernatural with the natural. But there's more to that, folks. Complete fellowship. So now I ask the question, if there was complete godly fellowship, because fellowship is not with yourself. Fellowship with two or more is called fellowship. You don't just have fellowship with your mind. Because if you do have fellowship with one person, you're cuckoos. But then again, there's a lot of cuckoo people. I see them driving and talking to themselves. But fellowship is two or more. So there was perfect fellowship in heaven. Did God need man for fellowship? Was there a lack of fellowship in heaven? Because heaven is complete. So did God lack fellowship? So why the heck does he want us? Why? Because he created us. He made us. What's the first thing he had with Adam and Eve? Fellowship. Fellowship. So what God has done, he said our fellowship is complete, but we're going to open it up so others that we have created can have fellowship with us. And the only way this fallen race can have fellowship with us is now through the gift, Jesus Christ. Wow. He'll graciously give us all things. The Bible says Christ was given up for us believers everywhere. And since Christ was given up for us, God will graciously give us all things. And that's what we see, graciously. Tells us that God is freely giving us something so valuable. And then, as I try and flow through this in my mind, and I've asked it maybe earlier on, whose idea was this? Whose idea was this to give humanity a gift? When did this thing come about? When was it thought of? We all come to the conclusion before the foundations of the earth were laid. Right? So then my response, well, why did it take so long? Why did it take so long? Well, I don't have the answer except for Galatians, where it says, in the fullness of time, God sent his son, born of a woman. So when's the fullness of time? Well, when he sent his son, when the Romans were in charge. So there are many questions. Now pause and think for a moment. Whose idea was this? Search all of Scripture from Genesis to Revelation, front to the back, and ask yourself this question. Who asked the Father to give his Son Jesus to us? I'm stretching the mind, and I must be very careful not to stretch it too much, because then I will go bonkers. And it doesn't take much to get me bonkers. But I stretch the mind and I ask the question for myself, whose idea was this? Who asked the Father to give us his Son? Did an angel beg God? No. It can't be an angel, because the angel was not created yet. Or was he? Big dispute going on with that. Did an angel beg God to sacrifice his son for us? Did a prophet, one of the prophets, plead with God to spare not his own son, but to give it for us, give him for us? Did a patriarch, Abraham, say to God, you know, if you were to offer your son, this whole problem will be alleviated, solved? No. No earthly created being approached God to send us a gift. No created being did that. Because the created being is incapable of doing that, because the created being is under a curse. And only the gift could remove the curse. Only the gift could wash our sins away. The Bible tells us that God the Father willingly offered up his son freely and without anyone asking. Isaiah 53 verse 10, and we're going to start wrapping it up. Oh, this is one of the most difficult passages if you want to examine a little more. God is love, correct? Are we all in agreement? God is love. What kind of love does this? What kind of love does this? Oh, we can search the commentaries. We can find so many explanations. But look at this. Still, it's what God had in mind all along, before the foundations of the earth was laid. What did he have in mind all along? To crush him. To crush who? To crush who? His only begotten son. Are you serious? What kind of a father is this? What kind of a God is this? The plan. I love it. The plan. Some of you will recognize it. I love it when a plan comes together. Ah. The A-team, the plan was that he give himself as an offering for sin. The plan was that he give himself. How did that come about? Man, in the future there's going to be creation. In the future there's going to be a heaven and the earth. In the future, there's going to be mankind that we're going to make and place them in the Garden of Eden. Because everything was done before the foundations of the earth were laid. In the future, somebody's got to pay the price. I'll do it. Is that how it happened? We don't know. The plan was that he give himself as an offering for sin so that he'd see life from it. So what was the plan all along? For us to what? Have life. The plan all along, the gift. So that you and I may have life all along. But remember what Jesus said? I have come so that you may have what? Life and have it to the full or in abundance. Yeah. The plan all along was that he would give himself as an offering for sin so that he'd see life come from it. I love the Message translation. Is it very, very accurate? I don't care. I just like the life. All right? Come from it. Life. And more life. Is there anything wrong with that? No, John 10 tells us that why Jesus came, right? And God's plan will deeply prosper through him. What plan? That all may see life and have life. Notice this. And God's plan will deeply prosper. Is it still prospering today? Yeah. Thousands upon thousands of people are getting saved every single day. They're getting life in Jesus Christ, the precious gift of God. Woo! Man. It still bugs me. God had in mind all along to crush him. It was the blackest moment in heaven's history. My God. My God. Why have you forsaken me? My God. Why have you forsaken me? When he died, darkness over the earth. The blackest moment in history's heaven. And God hated every moment his son was beaten, nailed, spit upon, lied to. Still God offered him up. That was the plan. Still God's sacrifice of his son was God's idea, nobody else's idea. No one asked God to slay his son. And I cannot conceive of anyone proposing to the Most High to make such a tremendous sacrifice. All God, why in the world do you hate God when God has shown nothing but love? Why in the world would you not accept God's gift where God's gift gives life? Why? Oh, I've answered that last week. I've answered it before. I'll answer it again in a simple form because you're stupid. We need this gift. Every human being needs this gift. Remember, we look back. We are looking back. Seeing how this transpired before the foundations of the earth. Looked at the value of the gift, etc., etc. And Christmas is about receiving presents. And Christmas means that we are so lost, so unable to save ourselves, that nothing less than the death of the Son of God himself can save us. That means you are not somebody who can pull yourself together and live a moral and good life. How many of us can pull ourselves together? Nope. Humpty Dumpty sat on the wall. He had a great fall. And nobody could put him together again. But I can tell you something this morning. I know of somebody that can put us together. I know of somebody that can put us. It cost a hell of a price. It was a unique gift. God's love. Through Jesus Christ, the gift can put me together. And I love it. It's not put together with Velcro. It's put together with love that lives much longer than Velcro. We need this gift. At Christmas, God is basically saying, you're never going to get up to me. Just think about this. I want to read it slowly so you and I can comprehend it. You're never going to get up to me, but I have come down to you. And he made his dwelling in the neighborhood. He came to our neighborhood. What was our neighborhood like? Filthy? Terrible? Sinful? No joy, no peace. He came into this neighborhood, our neighborhood. You can't pull yourself together again. But I'm going to make a difference in your life. But to make a difference in your life, I must come to you. Because you can't come to me. Because I'm not worthy to come to him. And he found us who are unworthy, worthy to come to. Wow. That's love. And to accept the true Christmas gift, you have to admit that you're a sinner. And I did, and you did. You need to be saved by grace. You need to give up control of your life. And that's one of the most difficult things for any individual to do, is to give up control of your life. I want to hand my life over to him. And I would like you to do that too, hand your life over to him. Consider the value of the gift. Consider the spirit of the giver. What is the value of the gift? I can't put a number on it. The value of the gift is priceless. I've got to consider the giver of the gift. Who's he like? What's he like? He's love. He's merciful. He's gracious. He's long suffering. With me around, he's going to need a lot of that. Long. God's mercies are new every morning. The spirit of the giver. For God so loved that he gave. I want to close with Colossians 2, verse 10, 11, 12, 13. Beautiful scripture. Remember, we're looking back. And then we come to the present. We've looked at the value of the gift. We've looked at the spirit of the giver, God. And he has a proclamation. So you have, and there's that word again. You have what? When do you have everything? Okay, let's pause. So if you don't have Christ, what have you got? Really? Do you understand this now? So you have everything when you have Christ. And you are filled with God. How? How? Through your union with Christ. So would it be fair for me to say that Christ is the common denominator here? Would it be fair for me to say without Christ you've got nothing? Would it be fair to say that without Christ you've got an empty lifestyle? You're mere existing, you oxygen thief. And you are filled with God through your union with Christ. And now we go back in our minds to Isaiah. Mighty God, Counselor. Look what it says. He is the highest ruler. With authority over what? Even Russia? China? Look at the propheticness. He is present, but it's not manifested yet. It's unfolding. With authority over every power. Oh my gosh. When you came to Christ, come on guys, yes, something you got to really be loud. When you came to Christ, he did what? He set you free. Wow. from your evil desires, not by a bodily operation of circumcision, but by a spiritual operation, the baptism of your souls. And we get to verse 12. For in next week we're baptizing again. For in baptism you see how your old evil nature died with him and was buried with him. And then you came up out of the waters. You came up out of death with him into the newness of life. Baptism signifying what's happened on the inside was a miracle, and this is a testimony of what's happened. Why? Because you trusted the word of the mighty God. Mighty God, we saw that in Isaiah. But now, the mighty God, the Father, who raised Christ from the dead. And now we can go into another lot of questions. Did God the Father raise Christ from the dead, or did Jesus Christ raise himself from the dead?
Yes.
Both. I lay down my life and I take my life up again. And now, reality. Not a denomination, not a pastor, but from the very portals of heaven and a revelation to mankind, you were dead in your sins. So unless you receive the gift, unless the gift is appropriated, so that there can be, come on Todd, propitiation. You were dead in sins, and your sinful desires were not yet cut away. Then he gave you a share in the what? But who's the very life of Christ? Himself. What does it contain? Life. And now we should all shout again. For he did what? Wow. The burden is rolled away. Reconciliation has taken place. We are one in Christ. Wow. Then he gave you a share in the very life of Christ. You see the gift, so unique, so precious, but the gift never gets older. The gift is ever present. Then he gave you a share in the very life of Christ, for he forgave all your sins. Thank you, Father. So what have I done? It's Christmas. And we're looking back. We've looked back. See the top there? We look back, and what do? Why? I've got life. I'm not an oxygen thief. I'm a child of the living God. I don't only look back today. I'm not only looking back. Yes, I learn from the past. I appreciate what it took for the gift to come here. But now that I have the gift, I'm living a life that is fulfilled in Christ, because I've got life from the life giver who is the gift. But I'm looking forward. With what? Why? Because in the same manner you see him go, in the same manner he's coming back again. I'm looking forward with anticipation. Very, very soon I'm going to see my King and crown him King of Lords and Lords of all, King of Kings and Lords of Lords. He's the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. I'm looking forward with anticipation, because he is going to come back. And I'm not just referring to possibly the rapture. He's going to establish his kingdom. And the Bible says, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. The King of Kings. The Lord of... Who is he then? I'll tell you. This is the King that changed my life. This is the King that gave me life. This is the life giver, Jesus Christ. And oh my, what a day that's going to be when I see my King face to face, the life giver that revolutionized my life, your life. And what a day that's going to be when every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the only begotten Son of God, the gift to humanity, takes control because man's time is up. Now he'll take charge completely from then onwards. So we've looked back. We celebrate. Next week we celebrate again. And we celebrate again. And we celebrate again. And then when Christmas is over, what do? Oh, we look forward to the new year. And then what do? Come on, let me help you. Every single day from this day onwards, this is the day the Lord has made. I will what? Celebrate. Celebrate. Celebrate Jesus. Every day, celebrate Jesus. Why? He's a life giver. He's a life giver. And thank you so much for the life you've given. You've given. You've given. Thank you so much. Come, we pray together.